ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, बोलो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधार, श्री वासादि गौर भक्त वृंद, जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद, त्रिनादपि सुनिचेन चरारिवासहिष्णुना अमानिना मनदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि, हरे नाम हरे नाम हरे नामैव केवलम्, कलो नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा. All right, we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, also known as the Bhagavat Purana. We are studying Canto 1, which is entitled Creation. The chapter is chapter number 1, Questions by the Sages. And we left off on verse number 14. Please repeat after me. Apana Sangsritin Goram Yannama Vibhasho Grinan Tata Sadyo Vimuchyeta Yad Bibeti Swayam Bhayam. Please repeat. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So now I'm going to explain for the benefit of my two boys so that they can understand. So, living beings. Living beings means that in the material world, everyone is a combination of matter and spirit. The soul is living and the body is actually dead matter. But because of the presence of the soul, the dead body comes to life. Living being. Another Sanskrit word, jiva. Everyone say, jiva means the living being. All right, who are entangled. So when you are entangled, it means you're not free. Entangled means you are covered, you are bound up, you are in trouble, you're not able to act freely, entangled. And then it says, complicated meshes of birth and death. That Sanskrit word is called Sangsara. Everyone say. In the philosophy of Krishna, there is this cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. As soon as you're born, you eventually will have to die. But then, because the soul is eternal and only the body dies, you take another birth, another body. This is the first thing you learn from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. That you're born only to die, and you die only to take birth again. And it goes on and on and on and on from as many billions of lifetimes as you like. So it becomes a network. And the goal is to get out of this taking birth, dying, taking birth, dying. That's called liberation. The Sanskrit word is moksha. Everybody say. Or sometimes another word, mukti. So that means you end this cycle of repeated birth and death, repeated birth and death, and enter the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, there is no more birth and death. And then it says you can be freed, because we already said the words entangled and mesh, these two words means you're not free. So you can get freed immediately by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So boys, always remember, no matter what's happening, no matter what situation you find yourself, always, always call out Krishna's name, and that will ultimately save you. I have much experience of this. When I read this verse, I have much experience that I, in so many situations in my life, when I was entangled, when I was not free, I immediately took shelter of Krishna's name, and within no time, I was freed again. And then it says, even if you chant unconsciously, so even you may not know what you're doing, but if somehow or other someone can chant Krishna's name, they too become free. So what to speak if you can chant Krishna's name consciously? So always, always, always practice chanting Krishna's name. So no matter what happens, you will immediately chant. A good example is my wife. I've had many experiences. I'm driving, or my wife is driving, and we have a near accident. Immediately my wife will cry out, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Other people would say something I can't say. Bad words. But when you are a devotee, whenever there is some kind of sudden thing, immediately. Here, I have experienced several earthquakes. And as soon as I realize that there's an earthquake, immediately I start loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, always, always, always take shelter of Krishna's name. Why? The last thing. Because fear, whatever fear there is, that fear is afraid of Krishna's name. Nothing is more powerful than Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So now we will read Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada ki. Very good, boys. You're in good form today. Everybody okay? Vasudeva, everybody say. Or Lord Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, is the supreme controller of everything. And as such, he is feared by all others. There is no one in creation who is not afraid of the rage of the Almighty. Great asuras like Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and others, who were very powerful living entities, were all killed by the personality of Godhead. So now I will ask a question. Which personality of Godhead killed Ravan? Say. Very good. Which personality of Godhead killed Hiranyakashipu? Boy, these boys have learned nicely. Ring the bell. I'm very proud of you boys. And which personality of Godhead killed Kungs? That's all right. Ring the bell halfway. Okay. And the Almighty Vasudeva, everyone say, has empowered his name with the powers of his personal self. So this is the same thing that Lord Chaitanya teaches. Namna makari bahuda nidya sarava shakti. What Prabhupada just said, that is the same thing Lord Chaitanya says. Oh my Lord, your holy name, right? You have been given all your potencies in your holy name. Once somebody understands that, they will become a chanter for life. Once somebody accepts, yes, all of God's energies are there in his name. That's very important. In fact, if somebody accepts that all of God's potencies are in his name, that person can be considered a pure devotee. If somebody actually accepts, yes, all of God's potencies is in his name, ring the bell. That person is a pure devotee. You may be a neophyte pure devotee, but if you have that understanding, you're good. Everything directly related to him is identical with him. And the reason for that, that is what it's mean by absolute. I'll repeat that. Everything directly related to him is identical with him. That is the meaning of something absolute. For instance, the material world is not absolute. If I say nimbupani, 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 I become more thirsty. I need the thing nimbupani. But if I just chant 30 minutes, nimbu pani, pani pani, nimbu nip, I'm not going to quench my thirst. Why? Because it's a dualistic, it's material. But when you come to the absolute plane, Krishna, the sound, is non-different than Krishna, the person. Krishna, the picture, is non-different than Krishna, the person. Krishna, the deity. Krishna, prasad. Because it is absolute. That is the difference between material energy and spiritual energy. Yes, sir. Yes. In other words, one may not understand it, but you're saying he still chants? Yes, because poison acts regardless of the person's knowledge. So that's another thing about absolute. Because didn't the verse say unconsciously? So if someone's doing something unconsciously, but still it acts, it's absolute. Yes. 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 But we want more than liberation. What do we really want from chanting? Just liberation? Yes. What is the ultimate goal of chanting? All right, in the temples, especially LA, before, after Tulsi Puja, every morning they do Tulsi Puja. Then they recite the 10 offenses. At the end of the 10 offenses, what do the devotees say? Every devotee, before that, every devotee who wants to achieve the ultimate goal of chanting has to guard against these offenses. And what is that ultimate goal of chanting? Love of God. That's the ultimate goal of chanting. Not just liberation, not just salvation. Love of God. That's the ultimate goal of chanting, as Lord Chaitanya teaches. Prema Pumarto Mahan. Ring your bell. I'm listening.
So, eternal liberation does not necessarily equal love of God.
Yes and no. Yes and no. But the better answer, why the better answer is love of God? Because another prayer of Lord Chaitanya, Mama Janmani Janmanishwere Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahoituki Twai, fourth Shikshastakam. My Lord, let me take birth after birth. So that line, Mama Janmani Janmani, means Lord Chaitanya is not interested in eternal salvation. He's more interested what you said. You originally said service. That's exactly what Lord Chaitanya says. Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahoituki. Causeless service. So, your answer was correct. Because that's what Lord Chaitanya prays. But the ultimate goal of chanting is pure love of Krishna. That's the ultimate goal, not salvation. Go.
Once you're, say you're liberated, but you don't have love of God, can you still develop love of God?
Of course. Yes. Go. That is correct. From one angle of vision, yes, but now you're realizing there's more. Even Lord Chaitanya teaches, beyond liberation is love of Godhead. Because there's also impersonal liberation. And there's no love of Godhead in impersonal liberation. And Lord Kapila teaches, Lord Kapila says, my devotees, you said there's five kinds of liberation. That is correct. So one of those, the devotees will always reject, merging. Impersonal oneness, the devotee will always reject. But Lord Kapila says the other ones, the other four kinds of liberation, if there's no service, the devotee will reject also. So for the pure devotee, the main thing is I've got to have service. And the goal of that service is to develop more and more love of God. Okay? You can have as many as you like.
But those five liberations, whatever they are, you can't fall from that, right?
That question. The answer to that question is yes and no. Yes and no. According to Prabhupada's teachings, yes and no. Why is it yes and no? Yes, because, well, in the case of impersonal, you definitely will fall. Definitely. That's confirmed in Bhagavatam. Impersonal liberation is not permanent. It's temporary. So in the case of impersonal liberation, for sure you will fall. The other four, how could you fall? If you want to. Because you always have little, what? Thank you very much. Ring the bell. Yes. No, I know. Because even in ISKCON, this is a point where there's lots of disagreement. Some ISKCON devotees say that once you achieve this, you can never fall. Prabhupada says you could because you have free will. Yes? Yes. 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 And for years I preached that. For years I preached that. But at the same time, Prabhupada says, you could. Here is how I explain it. Are you ready? I will explain. So you have a wall socket, right? When I was 5 years old, I took a pencil and stuck the pencil in the wall socket. My mother found me. My mother caught me. Now, I remember that experience. Could I do that again? No, really? I couldn't do it again? I could, couldn't I? If I was nuts, I could again take a pencil. I have the ability, right? It's not a... Now, do you think I will? No. That's how I explain. Krishna says, you don't fall. I trust Krishna. I believe Krishna. Could I? Yes. Why? I have free will. Do you see the comparison? If you want, it's up to you. Well, you have free will. People have a hard time understanding free will. The people who don't like this free will, they want to say, once you reach the spiritual world, you cannot. But that just, to me, means they don't understand the meaning of free will. Free will means I always have the potential, if I wanted to, because that's the meaning of free will. If she really wanted to, she could. Yes, free will means. Yes, that would be one way of explaining free will. You may choose not to, and or something may be difficult, but if you wanted to, you could do it. Yes, Mahesh. Well, so now we come to another level. Here we go. So how do I answer this? Here's how I answer this. It appears that this is something that Prabhupada teaches. Now, you all both know, well, I won't mention any names, but I have had arguments with certain people who subscribe to you can never fall, okay? And even when I say that Prabhupada says you can, their response is, oh, Prabhupada is just saying that, that he doesn't really mean it, but he's saying that because he felt that if he didn't say that, then the Westerners would not become devotees. But that, so, as I said, even in ISKCON, even amongst ISKCON gurus, some believe, like you, that you never fall. ISKCON gurus. Okay? So within ISKCON, there is a difference of opinion on this topic. You can or can't? Yes. Well, Prabhupada says that starts in the spiritual world. Now, at the end of class, I will show you what to read in folio. It's a long book written by Dhrutakarma, and that is what I go by. He presents that Prabhupada says. So, if you're interested, you read Dhrutakarma's. But I'm telling you right now, within ISKCON, amongst ISKCON gurus, some say you never can, and some say you can. Okay? I'm telling you right up front. I say what Prabhupada says, you can. You did already, and you could again. Okay? Yes? Oh, yeah. That's the whole thing. He goes through all of Prabhupada's books, letters, essays, lectures. He gives evidence after evidence. But like I said, those who disagree, there, when that is brought to them, they say, oh, Prabhupada used that. Their terminology is preaching strategy. They say, oh, that was a preaching strategy Prabhupada had to use because the Westerners were so stupid or not advanced that they were not ready to handle the truth. That's what they say. And that's when I start to get really angry. And I've already had 2 fights with somebody. Yeah. Yeah, because you know me. I only present Prabhupada. Since I started in 1994, I'm sorry, Prabhupada is the authority. Not this person, not this person, not... What does Prabhupada say? Okay? Thank you. You have a question? Okay. Are we finished with that? So remind me to show you that Dhrutakarma book. It's called Origin of the Jiva. And if you go through it step by step, hopefully you will be convinced like me. Okay? I know, but let me tell you a story, a different story. Maybe 5-6 years ago, one Indian lady started to come to my classes at Radharaman, and she liked them. So then she started to come to some of my Namahat programs. And she started to object. Why you're always saying Prabhupada? She told me, you should just quote Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So I let it go. Then she got the Srimad Bhagavatam, ISKCON Srimad Bhagavatam. And after some time, she called me on the phone. And she says, this Srimad Bhagavatam is trash. And she was blaspheming not just Prabhupada. She was blaspheming Vyasadeva. She goes, this Bhagavatam is trash. So all I said to her was that, I'm sorry, but because she was telling me, because she likes me, she was saying, you should just follow Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Her guru is that Amma. You know who that Amma, the hugging woman?
There's so many gurus.
Oh, there's this famous hugging woman. They call her Amma. That's her guru. So she said, her guru said, in Kali Yuga, all the books are wrong. Yeah, so you don't follow any books. You just follow her. Anyway, this lady was telling me, I have to reject Prabhupada. And when she said that, I said, look, if it wasn't for Prabhupada, I would have nothing. I would not even accept Krishna. So I'm sorry. If you're telling me to give up Prabhupada, I might as well give up my life and commit suicide. And I hung up the phone. But she wasn't finished. She still kept coming to programs. But after that incident, I wouldn't look at her. I wouldn't talk to her. And she came to one Namahat program. And when it was time for prasadam, I stayed. I didn't take prasadam. And I just said, I'm not talking to her, because I knew if she started talking, I was going to, you know, let her have it. So she stopped coming. But that was my realization. I only know about Krishna, I only know anything because of Prabhupada. So that's where I'm coming from. I don't care about this sadhu, I don't even care about what other Gaudiya Acharyas have said. No. What did Prabhupada say? Because when I was a new devotee, I remember very distinctly, they played a tape, and Prabhupada said, you do not know anything of my Guru Maharaj unless I tell you. So this is why I don't like to read other people's books. I only want to read and hear what Prabhupada is telling me, not somebody else. Yes. What was happening is that there was a period in ISKCON when Prabhupada's disciples were getting books from the Gaudiya Math, books written by Prabhupada's godbrothers. And they were starting to cause problems and controversies, and there seemed to be not everybody was now on the same page. So Prabhupada got very upset, and he only wanted his books in his temples. So that was around the same time when Prabhupada said, you don't know anything about my Guru Maharaj unless I tell you. Go ahead.
I've also heard like Srila Prabhupada books are considered like primary, and then the other Vaishnava Acharya's books are secondary.
That I like that. I don't know. That's fine with me. That's fine with me. Okay? Shall we continue? What happened? Where did she go? Okay. Shall we wait or continue? All right. We're still in the purport. Everything directly related to him is identical with him. It is stated herein that the name of Krishna is feared even by fear personified. This indicates that the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Therefore, the name of Krishna is as powerful as Lord Krishna himself. There is no difference at all. Anyone, therefore, can take advantage of the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, even in the midst of greatest dangers. The transcendental name of Krishna, even though uttered unconsciously or by force of circumstances, can help one obtain freedom from the hurdle of birth and death. Very good. Now we will go to text number 15. What's that? You don't know where we are? Number 15. Do you see 15? So that's where we are. Number 15. Number 15. Did you find 15? Then that's where we're at. If you're on number 15, that's where we're at. You got it? What number are we on? Thank you. Are you on 15? Thank you. Please repeat. Yat pada sangshaya sutta. Can you see properly? Well, then go where you can see. There's not enough light, right? You need light. There's not enough light for him. Yes, he needs light. He can't read what he's seeing. All right? Now, can you see it now? No, can you see? You can see. Munaya Prashamayana Sadya Punanti Upasprishta Swardhuni Apo Nusevaya. Okay, please repeat. O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them. Whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. All right, so now I will explain for the boys. So, lotus feet. Let me explain lotus feet. Okay? Boys, are you listening? Okay. Different parts of Krishna's body is compared to the lotus flower. Krishna's hands and his feet have a reddish color to them compared to the pinkish lotus flower. There's a blue lotus, a white lotus, and a red lotus or pink lotus. So the bottom of Krishna's feet and Krishna's hands and Krishna's face and Krishna's abdomen and Krishna's eyes are often compared to the lotus flower. There is a prayer by Queen Kunti, which we will study in chapter number 8. Krishna's navel is a lotus navel. Lotus hands, lotus feet, lotus face, lotus eyes. Okay? The other meaning of lotus feet, are you listening? Well, you're not. You're looking at the book. You have to listen. The other meaning, the lotus, the stem of the lotus grows out of the mud at the bottom of the lake or pond. And the stem comes up And the lotus flower sits on top of the water untouched. That means when Krishna comes down to earth, like the lotus, he is untouched by the material energy. He is always transcendental. Even he comes, because there are some fools who say, oh, when God comes to the material world, then he becomes under the jurisdiction of the material laws. No. Lotus feet means even Krishna comes, he remains transcendental, untouched, pure. From the water. The lotus flower, it grows from the bottom of the lake. He has not seen. Same thing. Well, the drawings are based on reality. The stem goes all the way up. The lotus flower sits on top of the water. Sita also.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very popular flower. It's always like they offer to God.
Because it's exactly. It's a transcendental flower.
So now it's hard to get that flower.
Yes. Yes.
The significance is that the flower remains on top of the water.
And untouched.
Untouched from what?
The water. Untouched by the water. It's not to, also, the leaves have a coating on it that also protects. But the lotus flower sits on top of the water, untouched by the water. Even though it's growing out of the mud, out of the water, the flower itself sits on top, above, untouched by the water. Now, boys, are you paying attention? I'm explaining this verse to you. All right, so the sages of Naimisharanya are telling Suta Goswami about persons who are fully surrendered to Krishna. They are known as pure devotees. All right? Taking shelter. When you take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, it means the same thing as Bhagavad Gita 18:66. When you fully surrender, that is the meaning of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. For instance, your father, boys, is going to take shelter of His Holiness Indradumna Swami. So when he surrenders and he becomes initiated, that means he has taken shelter. Actually, he has already taken shelter, because Indradumna Maharaj already said what to you? That means he accepts you, that you have taken shelter of his lotus feet. Yes. Go ahead. Oh. You understand? When you take shelter of someone, that means now you're not independent. For instance, at the time of marriage, you and your wife took shelter of each other. You're not going to act independent of her, and she's not going to act independent of you. That is a successful marriage. I have the same understanding with my wife. When you take shelter of someone, you're not independent now. You remain obedient. You remain submissive and cooperative. So when the whole verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, surrender. Surrender means to take shelter. So, this verse is saying, the devotees have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Those devotees can at once sanctify anyone who comes in contact with them. So, in my life, that person was Prabhupada. I saw how Prabhupada, by his actions, by his preaching, by his books, by everything, I saw how Prabhupada sanctified anyone who came in touch with him. And now we are seeing how Prabhupada's movement, Prabhupada's disciples, are trying their best to carry that out. He has Shakti. You can see. Very good. You have done good. Shall we continue? Now it says, so when you come in contact with a pure devotee, you get immediately sanctified. Whereas the Ganges, in order to get the benefit, you have to do it for a long time. Yes? Why is that? Let's see if Prabhupada answers it in the purport. Shall we go to the purport? Excellent. Can you see the book clearly now? Thank you. Pure devotees of the Lord are more powerful than the waters of the sacred river Ganges. One can derive spiritual benefit out of prolonged use. Prolonged means long time. Can derive spiritual benefit out of prolonged use of the Ganges water. But one can be sanctified at once by the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that any person, regardless of birth, as Shudra, woman, or merchant, can take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and by so doing, can return to Godhead. Ah, look at the word return, Mahesh. What does the word return mean? Ha! Ah! There's an example. See how Prabhupada is consistent? Okay? Return. Just like I'm going to return to my home in Torrance later. Okay? I was not here earlier, but I returned here from last week because I was once here. Return. So, return where to? Godhead. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. So that's interesting. So anyone who says, I'm surrendered to Krishna, but is not surrendered to pure devotees, that makes no sense. Look at what he says here. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of pure devotees. You see how that is? The whole ISKCON movement is based on that. What's the first prayer every morning? Vande Guru Sri Charanada Vindam. First prayer. Then at 7 o'clock, what's the Sri Guru Charana Padma? The whole Gaudiya ISKCON movement is based on this principle. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. The pure devotees, whose only business is serving, are honored by the names Prabhupada and Vishnupada, which indicate such devotees to be representatives of the lotus feet of the Lord. Key word, representative. Okay? Just like you are a representative of the United States government. Yes, Mahesh? You have a badge, I think. Right? So that badge means you are a representative of the American government. Yes? You're not the government. You are representative. Okay. Anyone, therefore, who takes shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, by accepting the pure devotee as his spiritual master, can at once be purified. Such devotees of the Lord are honored equally with the Lord because they are engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord, for they deliver out of the material world the fallen souls whom the Lord wants to, what's that word? Return home back to Godhead. So our original home is Godhead, not the impersonal Brahman. Prabhupada never said, return home back to Brahmanhead. It's return home Godhead. That, because some people think like that. Some people think, oh, originally we're from the Brahman. So, no. Return home back to Godhead. Such pure devotees are better known as vice lords according to the revealed scriptures. The sincere disciples of a pure devotee consider him equal with the Lord, but the pure devotee always considers himself to be a humble servant of the Lord. This is the pure devotional path. Now I will tell you a history in ISKCON. In the late, I think it was 1969, some of the senior ISKCON people of that time started to preach that Prabhupada was Krishna. And they were pushing this and saying to the devotees, you must accept that Prabhupada is Krishna. After some time, news came to Prabhupada what these senior devotees were saying. Prabhupada was so furious, he almost stopped ISKCON. He was so furious. The leaders of that preaching movement, Prabhupada chastised and made them rectify. And fortunately, some of the senior devotees started to study, because back then there was only a few books. It's not like today where you have everything. Back then there was only a couple of books. And the devotees were not very, shall we say, philosophically astute. So it wasn't difficult for the seniors to perpetrate this. It's actually Mayavad philosophy. This is what made Prabhupada so furious. So Prabhupada calmed down and continued to push on ISKCON. But there was a time. Now, this was, I joined in 73, so by the time I joined, this was already dealt with. But there was a period when Prabhupada was so furious and so disheartened, he wanted to leave and never come back to America, because it was happening in America. But it got rectified. The devotees made amends, and eventually it became the true philosophy, what it says here. The pure devotee considers himself to be a humble servant of the Lord. Yes. Okay. We'll do one more. Shall we do one more? Number 16. All right. 16. Here we go. Here we go. Please repeat. Kova Bhagavatas Tasya Punya Shlokedya Karmana Shuddhi Kamo Na Shrinuyad Yasha Kali Malapaham. Please repeat. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of Kali, who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? Now I will explain for the two boys. So the word vice means to commit sin. Sin means to disobey the laws of God. In the material world, when you disobey the law, that's called a crime. Your father knows all about this, because your father is a crime buster. He goes and makes sure that the laws are followed. So the word vice means a crime against the laws of God. You have a question? Go. Buster, break up, stop. Just like back in the 80s, there was a famous series of movies, Ghostbusters. So, he is a crime buster. He goes in there and stops crime. Okay? So, the age of quarrel, that's the age of Kali, that's the present age. Willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord. In other words, anything having to do with Krishna, anything that Krishna says or does, anything that describes Krishna is full of good qualities. It's good. Virtuous. When something is virtuous, it means it's full of good, nice things. Purport. The age of Kali is the most condemned age due to its quarrelsome features. Kali Yuga is so saturated with vicious habits that there is a great fight at the slightest misunderstanding. Those who are engaged in the pure devotional service of the Lord, who are without any desire for self-aggrandizement. What does that mean? Self-aggrandizement means I'm doing something, but I'm taking many, many things for it. Self-aggrandizement. I'll give you an example. Your parents work hard just to feed you. Your parents are not doing anything for you, thinking that they're going to get something out of it. Your parents take care of you two boys simply out of duty and love. All right? There are some people in the world, they take their children and use them to make money. Sometimes they sell their children to make money. So that would be an example of self-aggrandizement. Or some people, they get into a position of power and they use that power simply to take money and profit. This happens all the time in government. Somebody gets elected to a government post and then we find out that they're stealing. Last year or 2 years ago, there was a city here in California, Southern California, the city of Bell. And everybody on the city board was giving themselves a huge salary. The city was going broke, and they were drawing salaries, astronomical, paying themselves the highest salaries, meanwhile the whole city's going to hell. That's called self-aggrandizement. You understand? Those who are engaged in the pure devotional service of the Lord, who are without any desire for self-aggrandizement, and who are freed from the effects of fruitive actions and dry philosophical speculations, are capable of getting out of the estrangements of this complicated age. The leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they have no information of the simple method of hearing the glories of the Lord. That's your key sentence. I'll repeat it again. The leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they have no information of the simple method of hearing the glories of the Lord. On the contrary, such leaders are opposed to the propagation of the glories of the Lord. You see this now happening a lot in India. They're trying to drive out God more and more. Trying to say that Ram and Krishna, this is all mythology. It's happening in India. On the contrary, such leaders are opposed to the propagation of the glories of the Lord. In other words, the foolish leaders want to completely deny the existence of the Lord. In the name of secular state, such leaders are enacting various plans every year. But by the insurmountable intricacies of the material nature of the Lord, these plans for progress are being constantly frustrated. They have no eyes to see that their attempts at peace and friendship are failing. But here is the hint to get over the hurdle. If we want actual peace, we must open the road to understanding of the Supreme Lord Krishna and glorify Him for His virtuous activities as they are depicted in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's do one more. Are you in the mood for one more? All right, because the train of thought is continuing. Hold on. Repeat. Tasya karmani udarani parigitani surabhi bruhi na sradhananam lilaya dadhata kala. Very good, boys. Please repeat. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious. And great learned sages, like Narada, sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us, who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. So I will now explain for the boys. So the sages are talking to Sutta and they're saying Krishna's activities are transcendental. They're magnificent, meaning they're just so wonderful and gracious. Gracious means that Krishna's actions benefit everybody. Then they said, great learned sages like Narada sing of them. So when someone like Narada, somebody who is very, very advanced living being, if he sings of Krishna's pastimes and activities, that means it must be very good, because Narada is not going to sing something ordinary. And then they said, Sutta, we want you to speak because we are eager to hear. Just like you boys in this family. You call me here every week because you're eager. You want me to come, correct? That's why I come. If you guys didn't really want me to come, I wouldn't come. But because you really want me, I come. The adventures, yes, when Krishna does something, it's an exciting adventure. And then it says various incarnations, because Krishna comes not just himself, but in varieties of forms, as a fish, as a boar, as a tortoise, half man, half lion. He has so many different kinds of incarnations. All right, let's look at Prabhupada's purport. Yes? Sure, everybody benefits. Go ahead. Yeah, but they still benefit. And what happens to the demons that Krishna kills? Yeah, aren't they? Aren't they? Now, whether or not somebody appreciates doesn't matter because they still get benefit. It is described. It is described that when Krishna was on this planet, Mother Earth was so opulent. You don't think people benefited from that, even those who didn't like Krishna? The fact that Krishna was here, the earth was producing so much wealth. There's one reason. Okay? Just in the same way, when Krishna consciousness is flourishing, then everybody benefits. Even those who don't like Krishna, they still get benefit. And that's the greatness of Krishna consciousness. The more Krishna consciousness spreads, everybody benefits. That answers another question. Our philosophy is you satisfy Krishna, everyone is taken care of. But the world doesn't believe that. But we believe that. Are we opening hospitals? No. We are spending time and money and energy worshiping Krishna because we know if Krishna is worshipped, everybody and everything will benefit. I have said many times, and I still believe, because we have Rukmini Dwarkadish, and that temple is being nicely maintained, somehow or other, this L.A. area still exists. If there was no ISKCON temple, I don't know if there would be a Los Angeles right now. Who knows what could have happened. But Rukmini Dwarkadish is keeping, and you're not very far away. So you're in a good zone. You're protected by Rukmini Dwarkadish, yes?
You're saying you serve Krishna, then everybody's served, everybody's happy. Is the reasoning because Krishna is the sun manifestation of everything material and spiritual?
Because everything is part and parcel of Krishna. When you water the root of the tree is benefited. When you put food in the mouth and it goes to the stomach, the whole body is nourished. When you worship Krishna, everybody's satisfied. What's the story? You know the story, but I will tell it. The Pandavas were in the forest. Duryodhan wanted to put the Pandavas in trouble. The Pandavas would have their meal at noontime. Now the Pandavas had Draupadi. She is goddess of fortune. There would always be enough food as long as I think she didn't eat. Once she ate, that's it. And in Vedic culture, first everybody eats, then the wife eats after. Duryodhana wanted to put the Pandavas in trouble. Duryodhana told Durvasa, go now. Because Duryodhana knows if Durvasa goes now, they won't be able to feed him. The food will be gone. Durvasa will get angry and curse them. Of course, Durvasa comes with 60,000 disciples. He doesn't come alone. So, Durvasa shows up at the camp of the Pandavas. They have already eaten. Durvasa says, yes, me and my men, we're going to take a bath in the water. When we come back, you must feed us, because that's the culture. Householder has to feed the Brahmin. So Durvasa is telling the Pandavas, because Duryodhana told him, yes, we're going to take bath. When we come back, we want to be fed. So the Pandavas are like, wait a second. We don't know what to do. All the food's gone. So Krishna told Draupadi, look at the pots. Is there anything left in the pot? So Draupadi found one little bit of food. Krishna said, give it to me. So Draupadi goes, you know how when you cook, there's something left over in the pot. Krishna took that, ate it. As soon as Krishna ate that little bit of food, Durvasa Muni, everybody in the water, oh my God, we're too full. We can't eat. They left. They never came back. Krishna saved them. That's explained here by Prabhupada in one of the purports coming up. This point, Prabhupada will discuss coming up in this first canto. How by satisfying Krishna, everybody is satisfied. Okay? Let's continue. Purport. The personality of Godhead is never inactive, as some less intelligent persons suggest. His works are magnificent and magnanimous. His creations, both material and spiritual, are all wonderful and contain all variegatedness. They are described nicely by such liberated souls as Srila Narada, Vyasa, Valmiki, Devala, Asita, Madhva, Sri Chaitanya, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Sridhar, Vishwanath, Baladev, Bhakti Vinod, Siddhanta Saraswati, and many other learned and self-realized souls. These creations, both material and spiritual, are full of opulence, beauty, and knowledge. But the spiritual realm is more magnificent due to its being full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. The material creations are manifested for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. I'm going to read that sentence again for my own purpose. The material creations are manifested for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by false things. Such foolish men have no information of the reality, and they take it for granted that the false material manifestation is the all in all. So, people go, there are movies, right? There's always a movie, new movie every week. So, if you met somebody and they were to tell you, yes, I went to this movie and that movie is reality, you would say, no, it's a movie. We know what a movie is, right? But if somebody goes to a movie and thinks that's really, really happening, that person's crazy. Prabhupada is saying this material world is no different than the movie going on the block or on the TV screen. It's just a movie. Prabhupada is saying, likened to cinemas. Let's continue. They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by false things. Right? There are so many TV shows, so many movies, and they depict this romantic love. It doesn't exist. It only exists in the movie. It doesn't exist in real life. Right? And there's these James Bond movies. It's an imitation of Krishna. James Bond has these weapons and he's able to do these amazing things and he doesn't die. There's nobody like that. Yeah. It doesn't exist. It's a movie. There's so many. They make so many of these fantastic hero movies. The guy jumps off a bridge and he dives. It's like, it's everybody knows, ha, 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 this is, it's just a movie. It's not reality. Let's continue. They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by false things. Such foolish men have no information of the reality, and they take it for granted that the false material manifestation is the all in all. But more intelligent men, guided by sages like Vyas and Narada, know that the eternal kingdom of God is more delightful, larger, and eternally full of bliss and knowledge. Those who are not conversant with the activities of the Lord and His transcendental realm are sometimes favored by the Lord in His adventures as incarnation, wherein He displays the eternal bliss of His association in the transcendental realm. By such activities, He attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. So this answers a question. The question occurs, why does God come down to this material world? So here's one reason. Prabhupada is giving you one reason why God descends to the material world. What is he saying? He attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. Some of these conditioned souls are engaged in the false enjoyment of material senses, and others are simply negating their real life in the spiritual world. In the previous sentence, those who are not conversant with the activities of the Lord and His transcendental realm are sometimes favored by the Lord in His adventures as incarnations, wherein He displays the eternal bliss of His association in the transcendental realm. By such activities, He attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. Otherwise, if there's no clue as to the spiritual world, everyone will think, well, this is it. That's all there is. And they'll have no desire to get out because they'll think, that's it, there's nothing more. But when you read about Krishna and His various incarnations, then you begin to understand, oh, there's something beyond this material world. There's another world, and this world is like a movie, a cinema. It's not real. Yes, this is the teaching of the Bhagavatam, that this is a movie, and the reality is there, Krishna in the spiritual world. By such activities, He attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. Some of these conditioned souls are engaged in the false enjoyment of material senses, and others are simply negating their real life in the spiritual world. So that's the karmis and the gyanis. That's who Prabhupada is talking about. The karmis and the gyanis. These less intelligent persons... Oh, there it is. I didn't even see that. It's nice to know that I'm on the same page as Prabhupada. These less intelligent persons are known as karmis, or fruitive workers, and gyanis, or dry mental speculators. You know what happened today? Okay, every Friday before coming here, I visit another Indian family. So today, I went there, and just as the husband was about to ask me a question, I knew exactly what the question was going to be. It was like freaky. I was thinking he's going to, and as soon as he started speaking, he was asking me about this singer, Krishna Das. Have you heard of Krishna Das? All right. So he was, it was like spooky. And I said, you know what? I knew you were going to ask this question. Just as you were starting to speak, Krishna in my heart told me he's going to ask you about Krishna Das. This is spooky. All right. These less intelligent persons are known as karmis, or fruitive workers, and gyanis, or dry mental speculators. But above these two classes of men is the transcendentalist known as the Satvata, or the devotee, who is busy neither with rampant material activity nor with mental speculation. He is engaged in the positive service of the Lord, and thereby he derives the highest spiritual benefit unknown to the karmis and gyanis. Yes? Well, it's of a lower grade, but don't people go on vacations? Aren't there exotic places on the earth? Have you ever been to Hawaii? Okay, there are places. Look, you can go on the internet right now, and you will find there are very exotic places. There's this one place, even in India. There are very exotic places. Bali. Okay? So even on earth there are what's the phrase? What did you read? All right. There is material wealth here. There are diamonds and there is compared to the spiritual world, yes, but in the material realm, there is gold. There are beautiful-looking women. Otherwise, for those who don't want Krishna, they have something else. There's, all right, for many people, not for you, but for many people, Las Vegas is their Vrindavan. They can't wait to go. There are people, they'll wait their whole year to go on vacation to Disneyland. All right? Now, we can go to Disneyland, but it's not that we're going to like, wow, this is fantastic, man. But for some people, going to Disneyland is the greatest thing that ever happened to them. So it's relative. When you don't know about Krishna, the material attractions are fantastic. There has to be something in Maya, otherwise nobody's going to fall into Maya. In other words, there are people who don't want Krishna, right? So Krishna has to give them something so that they're satisfied. So Krishna gives them Maya. Sex, alcohol, meat eating. It's not that these things are painful. People eat meat because it's enjoyable. You understand? You may not understand what I'm saying, but trust me. People are engaging in illicit sex, intoxication, and meeting because they're enjoying. That's their enjoyment. Now, you have a higher taste, but they don't, and so they really enjoy it. All these industries, they... sex industry, the meat industry, these are billion-dollar industries. You understand? So people who are in these lower modes of nature, they think they're enjoying. That's the idea. It's relative. Okay? Now, you're above it. So you're thinking, what are you talking about? Yeah, fortunately, you're above it. But for 99% of the population... you take away their beer. Hey, what's the big story right now? They're afraid Obama's going to take away their guns.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll do anything for their gun. Their gun is their deity. There's these guys, they have 80 guns in there. What the hell are you going to do with 80 guns? But for them, it's their deity. And they're so afraid Obama's going to take my gun over my dead body. Right? Now, you have a gun for your job, but, are you going to die if your gun gets taken away? Let's say you change jobs. Are you still going to have a gun? No. You need the gun for your job, but it's not like, this is my gun, man. But there are idiots like that. They have, just like, okay, you've been to Bhrigupati's house? What has she got all over the house? Sheila Loca. Well, there's guys. It's Gun Loca. They've got guns everywhere, under the bed, in the kitchen, in the bathroom. Yes, they'll die with their guns. They'll have the guns in their casket when they die. They do gun puja. Gun, they. You understand? Yeah. All right. So, he is engaged in the positive service of the Lord and thereby derives the highest spiritual benefit unknown to the Karmis and Gyanis. Yeah. The Karmis think we're nuts. What? You don't want to eat meat? You don't want to drink beer? They think we're nuts. They do. Okay, have you ever been in your job? Do they ever bug you about what you're eating? They're eating burgers and all kinds of stuff. They probably see what you're eating. Don't they sometimes say, what's wrong with you, man? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because your particular job is like a Kshatriya thing. So you probably got a lot of Kshatriya guys. So they want, you know, and they probably harass you maybe. That, how can you eat that? You know, I've gone through that. You know, they think, you know, they think what we do, vegetables, and is not real food. You know, and they can't understand. What are you going to do this weekend? Oh, we're going to, let's say they ask you, what are you going to do this weekend? Well, I'm going to have my priest come over and we're going to have a class. And on Sunday, I'm going to go to the temple and they're going to look, what? What are they going to do? They're going to go to a bar. They're going to drink. They're going to engage in sinful act. Like I said, for a lot of guys, going to Las Vegas is like heaven. But you don't have any desire to do that, right? You're above that. And they can't understand. They can't understand. Yes? Exactly. Yeah. Yes, because. Right. Exactly. Next Friday, I have to, just because I'm kind of being forced to. Yes. You're here, they're there. Trust me. I know. Okay, let's finish up. As the supreme controller of both the material and spiritual worlds, the Lord has different incarnations of unlimited categories. Incarnations like Brahma, Rudra, Manu, Prithu, and Vyas are his material qualitative incarnations. But his incarnations like Ram, Narasimha, Varaha, and Vamana are his transcendental incarnations. Lord Sri Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations, and he is therefore the cause of all causes. Yes, sir. Brahma is an incarnation of Krishna. Yes, notice what he said. Read it again. Read it carefully. All right. So, you have probably heard me say many times. How many different incarnations are, kinds of incarnations are there? Have you ever heard me talk about that? How many different kinds of incarnations? One, two, three, how many? No. Six. You're in the way. Sit down. There are six different kinds of incarnations. Okay? So, first, you have the Leela avatars, the incarnations who do amazing pastimes, right? Vamana, Nisringa, Kurma, Matsya. You understand? Leela avatars are kinds of incarnations that do amazing superhuman actions. That's one kind. Next kind, yuga avatars. The yuga avatars brings the process of self-realization for each age. Who is the yuga avatar for Kali? Who? Chaitanya. Right? So each yuga has an incarnation. So that's the yuga avatar. There are four yugas. So there's one avatar for each age. Okay? Then you have the Purusha avatars. Mahavishnu, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, and Shirodakashayi Vishnu. They are the incarnations who appear in the material world. Okay? So that's three. Number four is the Guna avatars. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Brahma takes charge of the mode of passion. Lord Shiva takes charge of the mode of destruction or ignorance. And Lord Vishnu takes charge of the mode of goodness or maintenance. How many kinds we have now? How many kinds is that? Then you have Manvantara avatars. 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. And in each Manvantara, an incarnation of Krishna comes to help establish law and order. Okay, in a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manu periods. Okay? Manu is the father of mankind. So each Manu exists for, you take a day of Brahma and divide it by 14. Okay? So that's called a Manu, Manvantara. It's like right now we're in the seventh Manu, Vaivasvata Manu. Okay? He's the seventh. You understand? And let's see, what's the eighth one? I mean the sixth one. Oh, Shaktiyavesh. That's five, right? So Shaktiyavesh. Shaktiyavesh are the empowered incarnations, like Vyasadeva. He's an empowered incarnation. You understand now? So you have six different kinds of incarnations. Some of them are Vishnu Tattva. Some of them are Jiva Tattva. Do you understand? So those are the six different kinds of incarnations.
Does each category either Vishnu Tattva or Jiva Tattva?
The Leela avatars are basically Vishnu Tattva. The others, it would depend. The Leela avatars most likely are Vishnu Tattva. All right. So, we'll stop here at text number 18. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.